Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for a Sunday morning sermon, not a Sunday morning service, just a sermon from the Word of God, a word from the Word today. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're glad that you have joined with us. We pray that in this ever-darkening age that we are living in and stage of the church world, prophetically, an ever-darkening world around us, that we might be able to represent the hope of salvation that God grants us through Jesus Christ, the hope of deliverance from the wrath to come, a hope that goes beyond death, that death itself cannot cancel, because in the sure certain hope of the resurrection, every Christian looks forward to living with God forever, and nothing can shake that, nothing can change that if we keep our faith in the finished work of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the faithfulness of God. Well, this is the title of our sermon today, Three Sure Anchors for the Soul. There are many more, but I want to emphasize three in particular today that will help us be tethered to that cannot be moved and will not be moved, so that we can hold fast and stand fast in the faith in these very tempestuous times that we are living. You know, when I was in church right after becoming a Christian decades ago, my pastor talked about the end times, the last days. He talked about the gathering storm. He said we can see the storm clouds that indicate the gathering storm that is coming, the perilous times that are coming upon the earth. Now, we knew that was coming then, but this is now, decades later. Now the storm is no longer coming. The storm is here. And it's vitally important that we be anchored in that cannot be and will not be moved, that we have our faith in that is immovable and eternal, beginning with the Word of God and continuing to all that has been established for us through and by Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bible, if you will turn with me to Hebrews 6:16-20, on the subject, three sure anchors for the soul. As we turn there, let's talk about the storms of life. When the storms of life come, and they most certainly will, the anchor must hold, lest we will be driven by the wind and tossed, shipwrecked upon the rocks, instead of standing safe upon the rock of ages. I want to make that statement again. When the storms of life come, and they most certainly will, in this world Jesus taught, you shall have tribulation, we will be driven by the wind and tossed, unless the anchor holds. We will be shipwrecked upon the rocks, instead of standing safe on the rock of ages. We used to sing, I've anchored in Jesus. I'll fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I'm anchored in the rock of ages. I like the great Christian hymn of old as well, My Anchor Holds. Just going to read you the verse and the refrain. Though angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. It is vitally important that we tether our faith to that that cannot and will not be moved. Hebrews chapter 6, 16 through 20 from the ESV, English Standard Version. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable, in the King James I like it, it means this, but it says two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, who have fled for refuge, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We have this promise of God, this God who cannot lie, His oath to keep His oath, His promise to keep His promise, as a steadfast anchor of the soul, an anchor that reaches into that, the King James says, which is behind the veil. In a troubled time, in a shaking time, it's imperative that we as Christians tether our faith to that which cannot and will not ever be moved. So this first sure anchor for the soul is faith in Christ's blood, and in particular, the efficacy of His blood. The ability, therefore, the ability of someone or something to produce a desired result. A synonym for this would be the effectiveness of Christ's blood. The effect it has on God, the effect it has on the devil, and the effect it has on us today. Look with me at Romans 3:25. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. An old English word, propitiation, fitting to the Greek word, means the turning away of wrath by an offering. In effect, the atoning death of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Do you have faith in the accomplished work of Christ at the cross, of what the blood of Jesus has accomplished in your behalf? I love the great songs about the blood, don't you? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. Are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, that great hymn, that great invitation hymn, that it was the end of every Billy Graham salvation message and many others. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. This is where holy boldness originates. This is confidence in our reconciled relationship with God because of the shed blood and atoning death of Jesus Christ. Listen to Hebrews 10:19-22, and let's tether our faith and anchor it in this great truth. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. That's behind the veil, the Holy of Holies, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. We just read about that, didn't we? Amen. A high priest after the order of Melchizedek, one who makes intercession for us. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, literally a guilty conscience. It's the wickedness and evil things that we did in our sins that caused us to have this guilt complex or guilty conscience. The blood of Jesus is to sprinkle us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Jesus loved the church. And He cleansed it with the washing of water by the Word. This ability to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, to understand the efficacy of His blood, to apply it to our life enough that we have boldness and courage, that we can come before a holy God without a sense of unworthiness. I like Romans chapter 8 that begins with this, chapter 8 and verse 1. Now therefore, because of what we're talking about here, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the answer for the condemnation, the guilt, and the shame that sin has left. It would seem indelibly imprinted upon our hearts and minds and souls, therefore. But the blood of Jesus sprinkled the mercy seat in our behalf, hallelujah, makes us free from the guilt and the shame, and the very law of the Spirit of life in Christ delivers us from that vicious circle of sin and death. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, dear friend, faith in the blood of Jesus will bring a holy boldness to come into the presence of God, develop a fellowship relationship with Him, and know that our sins have not only been forgiven, they have been forgotten. In the Old Testament, they were covered with types and foreshadows of the covenant Jesus would establish in the New Testament, the New Covenant. And that new covenant says, as it is written, saith God, I will cast their sins away from them. As far as the east is from the west, their sins will I remember no more. The Old Testament covered temporarily until the new covenant could be fulfilled when Jesus went to the cross in our behalf and shed His precious blood. Amen. That our conscience may be clear, and that the guilt and shame and condemnation would not keep us from the boldness to come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of any trouble. In Star Trek, the mission is to boldly go where no man has ever gone before. Our mission as children of the new covenant is to acknowledge our standing with God through the blood of our Savior, and to boldly go into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, to come to the Father and speak to Him face to face. Amen. And know that we will be received and welcomed into His presence behind the veil, the holiest, before the very presence of God. Boldness to enter the holiest without the sense of guilt or shame any longer. We need also faith in the name and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 12, I'm going to begin reading. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" The lame man that went into the temple, you see, running, leaping, praising God. Verse 13, he says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. And you see and know, yea, faith by which by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Listen, dear friend of mine, they told them and threatened them after this man, this miracle had occurred. Said they would have stoned them. They would have killed them, but they feared the people, for they could not deny that a notable miracle had been wrought by the name of Jesus Christ. So they didn't tell him, quit practicing religion, quit teaching theology. They said, quit preaching or teaching in the name of Jesus. You see, God has given all power and authority to Jesus to carry out his will, his purposes, as the second person of the Godhead, and has authorized the child of God to use the name of Jesus in prayer and in carrying out the will of God. Amen. Listen, John 16, 21 through 27. "A woman, when she is in travail, Jesus taught, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you in proverbs," or literally in parables, "but the time cometh when I shall no longer speak to you in parables or proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and believed that I came out from him." Dear friend, if it's in God's will, we are authorized to use the name of Jesus in prayer and to use the authority of Christ's name to accomplish God's revealed will. I like Mark 16, 14 through 20. This again is where that holy boldness comes from. It said, "Afterward he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that which was that them which had seen him after he was risen. And Jesus said unto them, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." This is all in his name, the authority of his name. "In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. No more they threatened them and told them not to preach or teach any more in that name. Because of the authority, their salvation, the disciples, the apostles said, neither is there salvation in any other but the name of Jesus, for no other name is given under heaven unto men by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus Christ, through faith in His name, the authority of His name. In this shaken time, we need to do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. We need our faith tethered to the power and authority of our sovereign Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 19 says, so then after the Lord has spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. See, they went in His name, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. To pray in Jesus' name and to speak and proclaim Jesus' name means to operate in all the authority vested in Him by the Father. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Literally read, it would read, every knee will bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue will confess and should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. When Jesus comes back, there's a name written. He's coming on a white horse, signifying a victorious king. And there's a name written on His thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, He is Lord. We bow now, we confess now, He is Lord, and He's our Lord. And no matter what the enemy does, amen, Jesus is King, and Jesus is King of Kings, and He is Lord of Lords. And by faith, He is Lord of us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need, for a third anchor, faith in God's faithfulness. In the face of all of these winds and contrary winds, we do not need just faith in our faith. By the way, faith in your faith is fine if your faith is in God's faithfulness. Amen. Some people have misquoted Scripture, particularly where it said, have faith in God. Others, hyper-faith preachers, talk about having the faith of God or the God kind of faith. No, it's not us becoming like Him. He's divine. We are the branches. Don't forget that. Amen. It's our faith in the Father. It's our faith in His sovereign power and authority, and in particular, His faithfulness to His Word, His faithfulness to His children. Faith in God's faithfulness. Listen to Hebrews 11:11 through 12, and how this faith in His faithfulness causes our faith to grab a hold of His promise and have it manifested in our life. It said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Remember, she was barren as a young woman. And now she is 90 years of age when this promise was fulfilled to her, when the angel of the Lord said to Abraham, now there's the time. Abraham is 100. Sarah is 90. And it said that Abraham staggered not at that promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, for he considered not his own body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Well, what did he consider? The Bible said against hope he believed in hope, accounting that God was able to raise the dead, to accomplish the most impossible thing that could ever be imagined, that death could be conquered by a God with whom nothing is impossible, who is able to subdue everything to himself, to his purpose and his will, and even death itself couldn't cancel or conquer his purpose. Hallelujah. Against hope, he believed in hope. Let's finish this with Sarah. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She tethered her faith to the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Faith in your faith, once again, is fine if your faith is in God's faithfulness. I like what John Stott said, theologian. He said, faith is a reasoning trust which reckons thoughtfully and confidently upon the trustworthiness of God. Oh, anchor your faith in the faithfulness of God. Psalm 115, 9 through 18, listen to it. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. O Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I love that song that's based on the psalm. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and a lifter of my head. I see the shield of faith not as a force within us. The force is just belongs to Star Wars. Amen. I see faith. The shield of faith is faith in the faithfulness of God. Simple trust in the Lord. And it becomes a shield for us because He is our shield. Listen to the rest of this psalm. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He's faithful, you see. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more and your children. You are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither they that go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Tether your faith to the faithfulness of God when the storms blow against you and threaten to capsize you, cast you upon the rocks. Stand upon the faithfulness of God and therefore the integrity of His Word. Augustus Toplady, strange word, I thought it was a woman. Amen. This is just a name. It was a man. Augustus Toplady was between two villages walking, a man of faith, and a great storm caught him out in between shelters. He looked for a place to shelter himself. It was a terrifying storm. A quick storm came up. And I can just hear the lightning, see the lightning, and hear the crashing of the thunder shaking the very ground and the threatening rain and even probably hail. He looked for a place of shelter. He found a crevice, a cleft in the rock. and he squeezed in to the cleft in the rock and was safe. The storm blew and raged, but none of it affected him. He was 100% concealed and safe in the cleft of that rock. He took out a piece of paper and a pencil, began to pen the words, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. O rock of ages." Jesus is the rock of ages. God is their rock, it says, that unmovable anchor for the soul. Hallelujah. Today there is a hiding place. You can't hide from the reality of the last days, of the darkness covering the earth, of the gathering storm and the storm that is broke upon us. But we can hide ourselves, tethered in the faithfulness of God, tethered to the finished work of Jesus at the cross, tethered, hallelujah, in that wonderful, wonderful authority that we have been granted to come to the Father in the name of Jesus and have the blessed assurance that He will hear and He will answer us. We can tread on serpents. Hallelujah. We can overcome every device of the evil one. But we must be anchored in that that cannot and will not ever be moved. Question I have today, Christian, are you anchored in Jesus? Are you anchored in the integrity, the authority, the eternal Word of the living God? Can you stand on it in the day of trouble, when the storms of life assail us? I've anchored in Jesus. I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. Oh, be very sure your anchor holds today, because it's in that that will never ever be moved. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will abide forever. Jesus has been raised from the dead and ever lives to make intercession as our high priest. Our hope reaches into that that is behind the curtain within the veil. Hallelujah. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus, by which we overcome the devil, the accuser. We overcome our own conscience that cannot continue to accuse us, because our sins have been remitted, cast away from us as far as the east is from the west. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you have no anchor. Your ship is storm-tossed. It will undoubtedly be shipwrecked, because you have no power against those winds and those waves. But you can come to Jesus, the rock of ages. You can hide yourself. You can be delivered. You can repent of your sin and find the cleft in the rock. You can be saved today. Receive Jesus as your Savior. He will seal you with the Holy Spirit, mark you as His own. You can be safe from the wrath to come and from the storm, in Jesus' name.